Welcome to everybody. This is a most unusual class. I don't know if you are aware of the fact that we had a seminar a week or two ago, but today's message is somewhat different than it was at the previous seminar, although the basic idea is the same. Today's message is specially prepared in the invisible for those who are here. And its purpose is to go into the absolute, to look at things that we may not have noticed before, and to find certain solutions that haven't necessarily escaped us, but that we hadn't reached this far, to ferret out something new. And I hope today's class will confirm that to you. I'd like to begin it with a meditation, though, because I feel that until we have touched the Spirit, we have not properly begun this class. We could be still and let the Spirit divine our purpose, but I'd like to enumerate it. That we are here as spirit, seeking spiritual consciousness and hoping that the Father lights within us a receptivity to His words. It suddenly occurs to us in the material sense of life that there are not many places left to go. What we have done numerous times. We have repeated our errors. We have sought solutions to old problems. Seemingly it's all been done. And yet, the race riots occur. I don't know how many times you've seen them, or how devastating they have been. The presidential elections come. All of the things that happen in slow rotation in our human world come back to us. And if we haven't broken out of that mold, it's about time that we do. We find that to change the world is not our program. That's for people who want to change it. We find that changing the world is not something that we do well even, but rather by looking at the spiritual side of things, seeing what reality is made of, and finding our own true identity. We come to a different way of life, a way of life that, like light, can move into places that human beings cannot move into. And so we pursue that method of living. Ours is the spiritual life. And we are always interested in finding another degree of insight that will take us further along the path that leads to the kingdom of God. Because that is our destination. To begin our quest, we have adopted a unique form of self-identification. The common names, Joe, Mary, Charlie, those have gone by the wayside. The name that we have all adopted and must consider as the only name we shall adopt is I. I is the same as God. I is the same as Jesus Christ. And I is the same wherever you go. But we have not learned what we must learn about I. We've got to seek out the depths of the word and how faith in the power of I will take us out of the material world into degrees of awakening in the spiritual world. And we find that the fourth world, which is the world of mind and matter, is not our concern. Somehow, when you're a touch into the fifth world, the fourth world begins to shape up for you. All the things that have displeased us in it, they seem to be just a little further away from us. They don't touch your consciousness as much. And in the fifth, as you begin to look into the journey a little in a higher realm, you find that the fifth takes care of the fourth. And if you think back a little, you'll see that somehow things that have happened to you have come in such a way that you could be aware of the invisible miracle that lights your life. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some may not particularly have thought of it in that light. But if you examine your life, you find you have nothing that you cannot do. That everything that Spirit tells you to do, you can do. And that somehow the difficulties in doing it melt along the way. You find that the Spirit, which goes before you, has prepared a mansion or two, and somehow what human intelligence can't do, what human intelligence can't decipher or penetrate, the Spirit of you penetrates. And you find you're in a choice seat in another realm. And everything you touch seems to be lit up, as if it were meant for you to identify it. You're moving in a new realm. And I hope to continue this effortless means of reaching a higher realm during this seminar. We wish to find where we're going, more specifically. And we may not find the method, but we'll decide as we go along what we're going to do that's different and how we're going to do it. One thing is certain. The movements you make as a spiritual being can never be premeditated. They flow from an unseen source. They all carry with them the unmistakable presence of the Spirit of God leading you to a place that is yours alone. I said that I is the identity. We want to investigate that identity. We want it to lead us in such a way that we enter new avenues of awareness. I am the living Spirit of God. I am going to be your leader and your leader and your leader and the leader of the universe as long as it opens itself to me. Otherwise, there will be only a leader for this one and that one. And those who have no leader will find that they are relying on the human mind. When you're relying on I, you're not relying on the human mind. And that's where the road becomes a double road. The one you leave behind and the new road that you take. I. Always I. Now the world is unaware of I. The world is unaware that the system by which the Father educates the Spirit is an invisible network, one that does not meet the eye, one that never changes, one that always goes on with its work, regardless of what happens in the world. This invisible network is what we want to be introduced to very clearly. It begins with the presence of Christ in you. The Christ in you is replacing the material mind of you. You have been aware of it perhaps, maybe not. You should have been aware of it. The Christ in you is making its presence felt by letting you know that I in the midst of you am mighty. The Christ in you is the Christ in the Italian laborer down the street. The Christ in you is the Christ in the colored member of the ghetto. The Christ in you is the Christ in the Libyan who has just come to this shore. The Christ of everyone is identical. The outer form may vary in age, in man or woman, in race, in human things, but the inner Christ, if it could be examined, you would decide, how could the world be so blind as not to know that there is only one inner Christ infinitely? And across this infinite invisible network, the Father has set up a plan whereby you can be introduced to the kingdom. And you can discover, as you go, that every move, every thought, every action is blessed by the presence of God and has no ending. Now, in the interminable now, the Spirit of God operates. And you discover that there is more to you than the outer form. There's more to you than the inner spiritual body. The infinity of your being is the infinity of my being, and the infinity of his and her being. And that infinity stretches out, 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 and beyond, and it is the being of us all. When you get to know it, to be aware of its infinity, and that it is you, you realize that the Christ of you extends beyond the form. And then things come to your awareness. At times they make your breath leave your body. You just can't believe what's happening. And every step of the way, you say to yourself, well, who could have taught me this? Nobody but the Spirit itself. Because that's who you are. And as you resign yourself from the human race and say to yourself, that was a nice game while I played it, but I'm playing it no more. I'm not standing around in a human body, because that's what they bury. I'm not standing around in a human body, because that's what has disastrous results. That's what is divided. One day it's healthy and one day it's not. One day it's rich, one day it's poor. Where does it go? We've discovered there's no end to the human race. It just goes off and it disappears. And then we wait for it to return again. And it reincarnates and starts another series of errors and a series of good points. And we've learned that that is not life. That's the dream life, the imitation of life. And it takes a long time before we become aware that we've been dreaming. Literally, we have been dreaming. We have lived an imaginary life. And as we begin to touch a seed of truth here and there, we find out that we have a completely other life, a divine life, an immortal life. And it's not a thing of the future. It's something that's right here. We can't even understand how we could have been so asleep for centuries. And in this lifespan, so asleep that we never divined. It was a present fact. Here one and there one. And suddenly, I am the chosen one. And my neighbor, who didn't know he was the chosen one too, he is the chosen one. And one here and one there, until we become aware that God's plan does not include one, two, three. It includes everyone, because everyone is the invisible Christ child, perhaps unknown to himself, always awaiting that day when the awakening comes and the child looks out and says, I see a new universe. The world I lived in of matter is a make-believe world. And then the plan becomes almost visible. Now, we live in the fourth world. That's where we are. We live in the world of mind and matter. We've always thought of that as pretty close to the end of things. It isn't even the beginning of things. The fourth world is what Darwin stumbled across when he discovered the way animals became humans, humans, tiny little animals became something else, vegetation came on the earth, water. It all started out in the first world. And the first world was a zero, a complete nothing. We had lost our consciousness. If you remember, Jesus said, whoever starts in heaven ends in heaven. And if we could translate that, it would be a statement that we all started in heaven. We're really divine beings. We start in heaven, and for the sake of argument, we have called it the seventh world. You go down the sixth, the fifth, the fourth, third. You come in the descent from heaven, you pass into seven worlds. And when you're down to that zero point, you're just a blob of consciousness. Nothing. You look out, you don't even know who you are or what you are. You're not a human being. You're not even a mineral. Just nothing. And it's pretty tough to start at that level, but we all started at that level on our return to the Father's house. We came from heaven, seventh level, down to the first. And then we proceeded upward. We became a stone, something inanimate, seemingly. And finally water spread upon the earth, and from the water came the vegetation. The vegetation then fed the animals, the fish in the sea. We're at the second level, and the third level is a little higher. Then comes the ape. And from the ape, as ridiculous as it sounds, that's where man came from. And Dharma was right. Only he stopped. When man came, we were at the fourth level of consciousness. A brain had developed. The body had taken a certain form. We call it civilized. But unbeknown to you and I, the body was not a creation of God. The body was created by the world mind. And the world mind still runs this body. God doesn't. You can cut your finger and ask God to heal it up. God doesn't hear a word you say. The world mind is the king of this universe. And it was at this point, 2,000 years ago, that Jesus appeared to take man out of the fourth world, out of the world mind, into the world of spirit, which is the fifth world. And that's why it's all pretty much unknown to us, and why it's all been criticized, overlooked, censored, misrepresented, and all of the negatives that have to do with discovering that all that has been happening is that man, in his quest for reality, is now ready to move into the fifth world. Out of the world of mind and matter, into the world of spirit. Now, the world mind is not going to say, well, so long, friend, have a good time. The world mind is going to continue running the universe that it's created. And the best way to get out of the world mind is to find the inner Christ. You cannot succeed in defeating the world mind through anything you're going to do with your mind, because your mind is a product of the world mind. The world mind creates the human mind. And that's why the human mind is hypnotized. It's twice removed from reality. It looks out at a world. It says the world created by God is the one I'm looking at, but it isn't. It's looking at the world created by the world mind. God isn't in the world mind. God isn't in this world. The kingdom of God isn't in this world. And Jesus said so. My kingdom is not of this world. We simply have allowed ourselves to flow with whatever happens in the visible world, and we've graded ourselves as intelligent or unintelligent, depending on which we were, but neither one is aware of the reality. The best thinker in the world is stuck. Each is a prisoner in the world mind. And it's said that the lowest in my kingdom will be higher than the highest in the world for that reason. Once something in you resonates to this approach, to the fact that in the world you're about to be plowed under and begin again, that's all you can do. And of course, when we stop and realize that is a fact, we say, how can I move out of this world? What is the Father planned? And if you say that, at least you're on the track of discovering what the Father has planned, because there's no other plan that'll get you out of this world except the Father's plan. Now let's look at it. Christ in man, the inner Christ, across the world, is one Christ in every man. Regardless of age or nationality or country or color, there is a Christ in every man. And that Christ in every man is called the light of God. Maybe you have been aware of your inner light. The chances are some of us have. The Father within is the same as Christ. Now we have to take this man Jesus and say, what has he contributed to the intelligence of man? And we say he contributed everything that must be contributed. There are few authorities we can accept. He certainly is, in our part of the world, the outstanding one. He says, I am the way. Well, what way was he speaking of? It took us 2,000 years to understand what he meant, that I am the way out of this world. But he didn't mean Jesus. No, he meant I. And that is your name. I. Each of us, clinging to the reality of our being, that I am I, is the way. I and the Father are one. I becomes the incredible divine password. And then you discover that it's more than a word. The power of I is beyond belief. I in the midst of you am mighty. The power of I can move the mountains. The power of I can divert the flood. The power of I can do all the things that must be done to lift you from the fourth world to the fifth, from the world of matter to the world of spirit. I am the light. And then we're told, let your light shine, which means find the Christ within you, for the Christ is your light. Let your Christ shine. Let your divine identity shine. And you become worried right away because you say, well, if I'm Christ and he's Christ, there's nothing special about me. No, we lose our individuality. We lose our individuality, but we gain our infinity. Instead of being a limited person who moves through 70 and 80 years and then ends, we become what we have always been, infinite being, living in eternity. And although we're not there now in our realization, the spirit of our being is there. And when we catch up to who we are, we shall find that we are in the seventh world. So that's going to be our pilgrimage. It's definitely slow, but it's specific. And it takes us out of the negativity that ends in what is called death. Somehow a faith develops in us that's a journey I'm going to enjoy. I look forward to that journey. I have capacities I didn't dream of. The Father has planned that journey for every being who walks the earth. And that journey will be made by the Father. I and the Father are one. And you'll find that one is the same one. I am the Father, and the Father is me. Each of us will learn that we are equal with God, as Paul decided. It's quite a spectacular point of view, but he decided we are all equal with God. Because he could find the reality of his being was that Christ. That Christ, which was born in him in a most spectacular way. The man who killed the Christians became one of the foremost Christians when he discovered that he had no physical body. Suddenly there he was without a physical body. That's explained by his eyes going blind. What did he discover when he discovered no physical body? How was he still alive? Here I am with no physical body, but I'm living. I must be in some other kind of body. Maybe he didn't discover it that instant, but he discovered that there was a thing called the Christ body, or the spiritual body. The same body which was the body of Jesus Christ, the same body which was the body that couldn't be crucified. So then we have beginnings of a plan we see how God, in spite of every bit of ignorance in the world, of man's unfamiliarity with the divine light of his own being, brought a messenger into the earth whom men looked at and did not know what they were looking at. They looked at Jesus and they thought he was another man. They still think he was another man. But as students of spirit, we learn that Jesus always was an immortal. He was an immortal who appeared among mortals, and they couldn't tell the difference. He looks just like me, only he has the ability to disappear into the invisible. He has the ability to walk on a wave. He has the ability to sit on a mountaintop and then stop a storm in the ocean. How could he do that? His immortality was the answer. Before Abraham, I was. And there we have Jesus telling us that his name is I. And we've just learned that our name is I. Then we have Jesus telling us, the things I do, ye shall do, and greater work shall ye do. Why? Because I is your name and I is my name. We are one infinite Christ. The only way I am different from you is that I have realized my Christhood, and you are just beginning. But you are the same Christ I am. This was his message. The world didn't know. So let's take a very calm look at the truth that is right on the threshold of our mind. We are embarking on an experience called real identity. The Christ that I shall discover, the Christ that someone in another part of the world shall discover, and the Christ that maybe a child shall discover, all are the one infinite Christ. No matter what his name or her name or my name, we are one in Christ. And the world is being Christed to be brought into the fifth world. That is what your journey involves at this time. You are being lifted above your concept of matter. While you maintain this form, you are being lifted above it so that in the spirit you will find that you are not subject to the same physical limitations as one who is not aware of the spirit. You may find that heart attacks and rheumatism and all those things may attack friends around you, but for some reason they will not reach you in the same way. You can't explain it. You don't know why. But as you reflect a moment, you will see that the beginning of your spiritual awareness takes you out of material law. Material law divides man into two, both good and bad. When there is no material law, there's no two. The matter doesn't become defective or unable to be used or deteriorated. You suddenly lose the capacity to live in that type of environment. In spirit, the light of you, which is going to be the all of you one day, the light of you does not divide into good and bad. The light of you is actually the light of God. And as you move into the spiritual realm, into the light of God, you're under the protection of the Father. In the material world, you might walk across the street and get hit by an automobile. But the light of you, it will be seen as the physical self of you, but somehow it doesn't get hit by the car. You'll find that the light of you does not get into the same jams that the physical self of you does. The fears, the doubts, the uncertainties, all those that we have all become accustomed to, somehow are avoided not by intelligence, not by choice. They don't exist in the spiritual world. There are no levels of good and bad in the spiritual world. And as you move into that type of awareness, all the things that trouble a human being are obsolete. They simply are not in your world. Now, this jump is not sudden. It's not overnight. But I think anyone in the spirit is aware that this is what happens. You can more or less look at your own life and see instances where things that normally happen to physical beings somehow didn't happen that way in your life. And I think we can depend on this. We can depend on it to such an extent that we are about to seek more of the spirit and less of the material world. Because there's nothing we can do in the material world that will take us beyond 30, 40, or 50 more years, and it's over. But in the spiritual world, we move out into eternity, knowledgeably. So that's where we're going. We are, unawares to ourselves, eternal life. That's who we were at the beginning. That's who we are now. Eternal life does not have a physical body, does not have physical experiences. You will not be sick one day and well the other, well next. But when you realize the spiritual nature of your life, it becomes clear that that is what Jesus was here to do. He was here to take us out of matter into spirit. He told us we had to be born again. And many are still suffering from the fact that they only heard it but didn't understand what it meant. Then they weren't born again. Some excuses were made. Some people said, "I've been born again," but they didn't know what he meant. Whoever has not been born again is subject to the laws of matter. And you know, being born again is not an easy task.